EasternShorePost199.com for details and discount season passes. WABF, it is now 822 and 76 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Baldwin County Probate Judge Harry Doleve into the studio. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
We bumped into each other recently at an event at Oak Hollow Farm, and you mentioned you were sorry you couldn't make it on the radio, and we were able to rearrange so that you could join us. Normally, Baldwin County, whether it be a commissioner or another type of a department or agency, joins us the fourth Thursday of each month. But we've bumped it to today. Thank you so much.
I hope that's a good thing.
It is. Well, because when I got my voter registration card and it said vote at Precinct 52, Fairhope First Baptist Church, and I voted for 32 years at the Fairhope Civic Center. And I'm like, what is up with this? And then I get a press release about how the commission adopted a resolution approving various changes. And I think it's important for us to know.
It is. And I appreciate the opportunity to share how this came about. Of course, the county commission is responsible for getting the polling locations. They make the decision of the places, and they can draw the precinct lines and determine, you know, which voters go to which polling place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we all work together. I have an elections staff in my office, and so after the presidential election, I asked them to run me a report of exactly how many registered voters were assigned to each polling location. And I don't know if or when that had ever been looked at, but it concerned me with the lines that we saw
right.
In November. So some of the numbers were astounding. And, of course, you speak of the Fairhope Civic Center. That was one that we show 8,866 registered voters assigned to the Fairhope Civic Center at
wow.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've voted there. You've seen the traffic. You've seen the chaos. You've seen they have police officers out there all day long. And we had no idea there were that many registered voters. Now, when I say these numbers, the number of registered voters assigned to these polling places, that doesn't mean that's how many actually come out and vote. That's how many can.
And actually, aren't there more than that in Fairhope, though? What, like 13,000?
Yes, there are, because we have Homestead Village. And
okay.
And Homestead Village has about 3,343 voters assigned to it. That was it. And then we have Three Circle Church on 104
okay.
that gets a portion of Fairhope, which that one has like 9,900, I think. And so we started looking at these larger ones and saying, you know, we've got to split them. It's, again, that magic word that everybody keeps throwing around in this county, growth.
Yes.
You know, we had at the end of 2020, we had 175,497 registered voters. Now, we currently have 182,995 registered voters. So, you know, again, what we see at least a 60% turnout the last few election cycles that we've had.
Isn't that phenomenal itself? On a national average, to look at voter turnout, to have that percentage is just unreal almost.
It's great. And I can remember 10, 15 years ago, we may see 18 or 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really, really increased. And that's why we see the lines at our polling locations now. More and more voters are coming out, and we have more and more voters in the county.
You handed me a list of 52 voting precincts, and that's the whole county.
Yes.
52 precincts.
Yes.
And you have to manage all of those and staff all of
yes.
those.
Yes. It takes about 500 poll workers, give or take 10 or 20. And, you know, they're there for 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night minimum, they usually get at the polling places around 6:30 in the morning to get, be prepared to open the door.
I see some of the same faces every year after year, election after election. That's awesome to have that dedication of volunteerism. Or, well, I guess they get paid, though.
They get paid, but nothing that you know, compensates for the hours that they put in.
So,
you know, I think it's about $125 a day that they get paid. And, you know, it may be the polls close at 7 o'clock, but whoever's in line at 7 gets to vote, and then they have to close down, you know, the polling place, and you know, it may be 9 or 10 o'clock before they get out of there.
So let's talk about the precincts that have changed and or consolidated or were split. Tell us about those.
All right. I'll start in the north end. It was simpler. We had a polling location at the Vaughan Community Center in the Stockton area, and there was about 596 voters, I believe, assigned to it. Mm-hmm. Well, that property was owned by the school board. So they told us a few months ago that they are looking to sell the property, so we could not use it for polling location. So we simply moved those voters to the Stockton Community Center. Not that many won't have a major impact. And as you come on down, we had a similar situation in Ellisville, outside of Loxley. The Ellisville Center, where they were voting, is owned by the school board, and again, they made the decision to try to sell that property, so we could no longer use it. We checked with a church close by, and they did not want to be involved, so we moved those voters to the Loxley Civic Center. And that was about 500 voters, I believe, registered voters, that were assigned to it. So again, not a major impact. As we come further down in Foley, we had the Foley United Methodist Church and the Foley Civic Center are two polling places in Foley. And when we looked at the church, and I had been by there on election day, and I'm thinking, gosh, this is just unbelievable, the number of people and the chaos here. And I'm trying to find it on my list real quick.
You're looking.
Foley Methodist Church had 8,217 voters assigned to it.
Wow.
And I said, you know, and the Civic Center, the Foley Civic Center had only, let me go back on the other, 5,000 or 5,200 voters assigned to it. So the Methodist Church had more than the Civic Center. So we split that one. We split it on Highway 98, and we were able to obtain St. Margaret's Catholic Church to take the load off of the off the Methodist Church.
Okay, so there's three there now: the Methodist Church, the the Civic Center, and the Catholic Church.
Right. So that now we have 3,300 voters assigned to the Methodist Church, and the balance went to St. Margaret's.
Mm-hmm.
So that should help there. The Civic Center is okay. They have about 5,600 voters assigned there, but it's a very large parking lot and very large building, so that's that's not too bad. Another one that we looked at that I had been to on election day was the Orange Beach Community Center. So we move a little further down, and it had 8,631 voters assigned.
That's about the same as the Fair Pacific Center did,
Yes, and it's very congested, right there on Canal Road, and not much parking. So we tried to figure a way to help it. Well, we created, or the commission did, a voting precinct just for Ono Island. And that was about 1,400 registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
So those will have been taken away from the Orange Beach Community Center, and that will help some. Now, we also talked with the Orange Beach mayor and city council about moving from the community center to the wharf, to the event center, and they all were in favor of it, except it was too late to move it for this election cycle. They already had things scheduled.
Darn.
So we're hoping that you know, their commitment was that they will move it for the next election cycle.
Daphne had some big changes.
We were voting at Trojan Hall at the high school. And, of course, the presidential election, November, school was in session. Voters and poll workers got there before students and teachers. Students and teachers had no place to park. Traffic was horrendous. The school had already started using Trojan Hall more and more for school activities, whereas when it was first being used as a polling place, it wasn't used that often. So the school board said, you know, we just can't let you use it anymore. We had, and you're probably looking at it faster than me, a little over 10,462 registered voters assigned to Trojan Hall.
Plus school classroom functioning.
Yeah. So
A mess.
You know, I can't blame them. I understand. It was.
Now where are folks going?
So now we have the Eastern Shore Baptist Church, and we have St. Paul's Episcopal Church. So we've rearranged, and we took, I believe they took a portion of the voters from the Daphne Civic Center as well, and spread them out through those two polling places.
So it's real important for folks to pay attention to that little card that came in the mail. I've asked several people, and they're like, I don't know, I probably threw it away. I said, well, you might be showing up at the wrong place to vote.
Exactly.
So and for those that didn't get the card like I did, or may have chunked it like a junk mail, how would we go about to see if our precinct has changed? What should we do?
They can contact the Board of Registrars. They can look on the county website. They can contact the Board of Registrars, and the Board of Registrars can pull their name up and tell them what voting precinct they are assigned to.
So the folks can call.
Yes.
Actually call.
They can call.
Would I put you on the spot if I ask you the number?
You would, because okay. I do not.
But you can also go to BaldwinCountyAL.gov.
Yes.
and click on elections and precinct. There's actually a map.
Right.
That we've shared on our Facebook page, and the Baldwin County Commission has shared on theirs.
Yes.
And you don't, the probate
I believe it's
office,
on the probate website
you
as well.
Have your
we
own
have
page
an elections,
too?
Yes.
Okay, I think I've seen that. Okay.
Yes. So the information is out there. There were approximately 22,000 voters affected. The Board of Registrars sent a postcard like you got to every one of them. Now, some came back because addresses were not current for whatever reason. You know, people will move, and one of the last places that they will contact is the Board of Registrars to let them know that they've moved and, hey, am I in a new voting precinct now? They don't think about that.
Until it's time to vote.
Until it's time to vote.
Oh, no.
And then they show up at the old polling location. Mm-hmm. Of course, the poll workers will be able to pull their names up and tell them if they're at the wrong location. But that's a busy day. We would much rather you find out ahead of time.
Right, right.
You know, and you saw the little postcard. A lot of people think, well, that's junk mail, you know. They toss it. They don't bother to read it. They or it gets mixed in with the sales brochures or whatever. A lot of people legitimately miss it.
For those that are not registered, how do we go about registering? I think the deadline's coming up. What, May 9th?
I think so. I was looking for the email just before we started, and I could not put my finger on it. But they can go to. Again, they can go online and get an application, or they can go to any of the satellite courthouses.
And the libraries, too,
and
I think.
And the libraries, I believe. There are a lot of locations that you can go to and register to vote. Now, when you renew your driver's license in the probate office, you may have noticed, or I'm sure some people have, that the clerk will ask you, are you registered to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to register to vote?
That's
and if
right.
you say yes, they click that on the computer program, and it goes to the Secretary of State's office, who in turn will notify the local Board of Registrars that, hey, this person wants to be a registered voter now.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you can go online to the Alabama Secretary of State's office and register online to vote. So I just Googled Baldwin County voter registration, so keep that in mind. And I know that's not your department. Your department is more of regulating after the fact, right?
Right, right. And getting prepared before the fact.
Executing the election itself.
Yes. Okay. And like these changes, it was a group effort, you know, commission staff working with my staff and everything. Now you want to ask about the voters list that went out in the newspaper.
I'm sorry y'all can't see this. This is one of the times I wish we had a camera, because we get the Gulf Coast newspapers, which is the Fairhope Courier, the Courier, and the Baldwin Times. And one day last week, I got what must be 2 or 3 inches thick. I don't know how many pages. It's heavier than a regular newspaper would be. It's like 2 Sunday newspapers in the old days.
Right.
Maybe that's a good indication of the 2022 Baldwin County voters list. And it says, if you are a registered voter in Baldwin County, look for your name on this list. And what is this publication for?
The law requires that the voters list be published before each election. That's an old law that's been in place for many, many years.
I wish it required you to advertise this list on the radio. I could retire right now. I shudder the thought of what this cost.
That cost $342,000.
No way.
And the county pays half, which would be approximately $172,000. And the state pays the other half. But as I said, it's a legal requirement. The legislature has, there have been bills introduced in the past to allow us to publish it on websites as an option to printing it in the newspaper, but they just never pass.
Should I go open a local newspaper? I mean, how does that law work? It has to be a local paper in your county.
Right, that's published within the county.
But not all of them.
Right.
And that's pretty much going to be
Gulf Coast
Media. Wow. That's amazing. So, sorry, I digress. Why do we need to look up our name on this list?
To make sure that you know, number one, if you feel like you're registered voter and you don't see your name, you need to call the Board of Registrars and question that. Number two, it tells you your voting location. So if you find your name, then it will tell you your voting location.
Okay. But if I got a card, I really don't have to go dig through that, because that means I'm
the
confirmed.
Card,
okay.
Right. The card confirms that you're a registered voter. Now, there will be a supplemental list after the deadline to register, which we were talking about, I think, is May the 9th, there'll be a supplemental list published as well with all the additional voters that registered between the time that was printed and the deadline.
Okay. We're speaking with Baldwin County Probate Judge Harry Doleve here at WABF. It is 8:40 and 76 degrees. What else? You brought quite a few pieces of paper. What else would you like to tell us that I have not thought to ask?
Well, I looked at some numbers of the general elections, the presidential elections, comparing 2016 with 2020. We had a total number of precincts in 2016 were 47. In 2020, they were 51. So, you know, now we're at 52. Plus absentees. I don't think the absentee ballot box is included in this 50, so that would make 53. Registered voters in 2016, 146,821. In 2020, there were 176,666.
And then you said something about 2022. What,
182,000. Almost 183,000 now.
Okay.
Total ballots cast in 2016, 95,627. Total ballots cast in 2020, 109,981, so just shy of 110,000. Percent turnout in 2016 was 65. In 2020 was 61.85, almost 62. But you're comparing, you actually had more voters, but you had a higher number of registered voters, so that affects the percentage. You actually had more voters turn out. Straight ticket Democrat voters in 2016, 19.95%. 2020, 18.92%. Straight ticket Republican voters, 2016 was 80%, and 2020 was 81%.
Very interesting.
So, and again, you look at poll workers. 523 poll workers were used in 2020 at a cost of $93,290. We used 80 tabulators. That's the machine that reads the ballot. We have 50 express votes, which are for handicap access, one for each polling place, so we'll have more now. 155 electronic poll pads. That's when you first walk in the door and the ladies are sitting there with a little computer in front of them. Those are the poll pads. They have the voters list loaded on them.
Okay.
So that will scan your driver's license.
I was going to say, is that where they scan the driver's license?
It will scan the driver's license or a state ID card, but it will not scan any other type of identification. They have to input your name if you use any other type of identification.
Let's talk about these, what did you say, 80 DS200 tabulators. Those are the voting machines?
Yes.
You know, all the controversy from the last election. Tell us about our machines compared to what some others are worried about, and can they be hacked? Can they be controlled?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Nothing is impossible. Do I think they can be? No, not from what I've seen. These tabulators are not connected to the internet in any way. You know, they have no capabilities of connecting to the internet. The ballot is on a thumb drive that is put into the machine, and all of those tabulators are tested by my staff before they go out to the polling places, and they're sealed. And the first thing that the poll workers do is plug in that machine, turn it on, open the little panel on the side, and there's a button that says open polls. They press that button and it will start printing a tape. It's like an adding machine tape. You can see it usually on the machine.
Oh yeah, it's taped on the glass wall for election
results.
That's at the end of the night.
Right, this is the very beginning.
Okay.
It will print every name that's on the ballot, and it should have a zero by every name. And once it's finished with that initial tape, then the poll workers will check it to make sure they're all zeros, and then they sign it. There's a place for at least four signatures. So that is saying that we have looked at it, it's zeroed out, nobody has any votes at the beginning of the day.
At the beginning of this.
Right.
And it's not connected.
No.
I can't remember details, but I do remember hearing our Secretary of State, John Merrill, address this issue. I guess it was at a Republican women's luncheon. And he's very confident in our state's system and seems to be advocating for other states to use the system that we're using.
I would think so. I was very surprised when this last presidential election and what I was hearing about how some states operate. And it just floored me because nothing like that.
So there's nowhere I can go stuff ballots in a box?
No.
And sneak around? I mean, that just seems preposterous to me.
It is when you think about it, because like you say, when you first walk in, they pull up your name on the voters list, and they mark you that you've appeared to vote. You know, every ballot is numbered. There's at the end of the night, if they had 2,000 people that show on the poll pad is coming in there to vote, then they've got to account for 2,000 ballots. And the count on this tabulator should be 2,000, unless, and I say account for ballots, sometimes a person will mark their ballot and then they say, oh, I've messed up. Well, you tear that ballot in half and it's a spoiled ballot. It goes in an envelope at the end of the night and is returned to the sheriff. So that ballot is counted, is accounted for, and you know, same thing with provisional ballots. They're all numbered.
What are provisional ballots?
Provisional ballots is if someone, it's what they used to call a challenge ballot, which basically is saying that you're not on the voters list, we don't find you anywhere in the system, but we're going to let you vote, and the Board of Registrars will make a determination. They have a week to go through all of the provisional ballots to see if you are in fact a registered voter, or you know, were you eligible to vote.
It could have been as simple as somebody moved and forgot to change their address, showed up at their old place. So is the Board of Registrars doing that, is that the same as what's called canvassing an election? Oh, I mean, for, I don't know, 40 years I've reported, here's the unofficial results. We're waiting for them to canvass the election. What does that really mean?
That means the official count. In the old days, you know, we had the old mechanical machines, and at the end of the night, a person would stand inside. I don't know if you may have the little lever, the curtain would close around you.
Right,
you
right.
Flip the little levers, uh-huh. Is who you voted for. Well, at the end of the night, it was like an odometer out beside each person's name, and it would show the number of votes that they got in that machine. Someone would stand in that machine while another poll worker would have this large tally sheet with all of the names and the machine numbers across the top, and you call out the number of votes that person got, and they would write it down mm-hmm. on that tally sheet. So you get all of these tally sheets. So to canvass meant that the next day or days, you would start reading those numbers off those tally sheets while several other people would actually be
double checking. Checks and balances.
Checks and balances.
And how is that done today? Is it all done?
Well, today it's
now?
Done by the tabulator. We get the printout mm-hmm. from the tabulator that gives us the results. Now, we still have the paper ballots. If there were a challenge, it would be possible to take all of those paper ballots. The sheriff gets them election night. They're in sealed boxes, and he secures them.
What's the deadline for those boxes to be delivered? I mean, we heard about mysterious boxes arriving at 2 a.m. in the presidential election. How does that work? Who takes the boxes? Where do they go? And is there a deadline for them to arrive?
You know, I can't recall a specific deadline, but what happens is the sheriff's deputies go to the polling places at the close of election night and pick up all of the material. They get the thumb drives from the machines. They come to us, the probate office. The ballots out of the bottom of the machine, the paper ballots, like I say, the poll workers put them in boxes and seal them.
Mm-hmm.
The deputies pick those up, and they bring them to Bay Minette. We have a big drive-through tent set up on the side of the commission building. They'll pull up under that tent, unload everything from their vehicle, the ballot boxes, go into a trailer that will be locked at the end of the night and secured. The provisional ballot boxes, someone is there from the Board of Registrars. The actual ballots, are secured by the sheriff.
Yes.
The paperwork will, the applications that the voter fills out for the provisional will be taken by the Board of Registrars and verified. And then a week later, we meet the canvassing board, which is the sheriff, circuit clerk, probate judge, and all of the provisional ballots that the Board of Registrars has determined are legitimate. We will open those boxes and get those ballots and mm-hmm. run them through a tabulator
okay.
and count those votes.
So fascinating, Judge.
It is. It's a lot behind the scenes that people have no idea. And you talk about the poll workers. Without the poll workers, there'd be no election.
So what if someone wants to volunteer to do that?
They can contact, they can go online, the Secretary of State's office. There's a form for each county that
okay.
you can fill out and email in, or contact our elections office in Bay Minette.
Okay.
And of course, we have everything set now for the primary, and we'll use the same people for the runoff.
Just 21 days away now.
And then before November general election, we'll have another election school. They have to go to the election school, whether they're picked or not. To be eligible to be picked, they have to go to the election school. It lasts about an hour. We have several of them. It goes for about 2 weeks, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. To give
so
everybody
convenient,
time.
A convenient
yes.
thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And we send letters out to everyone that has worked in the past or everyone that has attended a class in the past. And we say, hey, you know, election time again. Here's the schedule for our classes for this election cycle. If you're still interested, please, please come.
It's like I said, it's interesting. I've seen a lot of the same people over the years, dedicated people that want to serve. I know they get paid, but still.
They are, and we lose a lot of people because of age. They pass away. They have health issues that come upon them that they just can't work that long of a period anymore.
Because what is it, a 12-hour, 13-hour
day? At least,
yeah.
yes. Yeah. And so we love to see younger people come to our classes, and we try to use them, appoint them, and you know, once they've worked an election a full day with the seasoned workers, then they're good to go.
Probably bitten by the bug after
right.
that. Yeah. Judge, I hate we're running out of time. Any last thoughts that we haven't covered or thought of?
No, I think we've touched on everything. I would like to emphasize, though, if you have a question about where you vote, you know, call the Board of Registrars, or if you have access to that voters list, check it. It's best that you know before Election Day. It will keep down on the confusion, because we know people are going to come into the Fairhope Civic Center that's been reassigned to the Fairhope Baptist Church.
Right.
And we're going to have to send them down the road. And the other places, you know, that we've made some changes will be the same. So
the Baldwin County Board of Registrars in Bay Minette, 937-0305. Thank you so much, Judge.
Yes,
very
ma'am.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
We do post our community contact interviews online, and I think this is one that I think a lot of folks might be pulling up later. So if you did hear part of it but not all of it, or want to tell a friend, WABF 1480.com.